podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Blue Moon. You saw me standing alone.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. A convincing, comfortable, confident win at the weekend against Wolves. Four goals from the stroppy League Two player, Erling Haaland. A return to the Etihad for David. Let's call him David, eh? David Silva. And that means just four cup finals, including the cup final. See what I did there? To win back-to-back doubles and a fourth league title in a row. To discuss that and much more, including City Women and the youth team playing in another final at the weekend, or on Friday. Welcome to Stephen Cox. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hi, Nigel.
To Spencer Debson. Hi, Spencer.
Hi, Nigel.
And to Paul Denby. Hi, Stato.
Hi there, Nigel.
Listen, Stato, City have not been firing on all cylinders, people have said. But actually, they weren't bad at the weekend, were they? They were almost firing on all cylinders, weren't they?
Yes, for most of the game they were. I'd say there were little lapses in concentration when we were maybe 3-0 up. And certainly most of the game we were back to how we would like to see City playing. And let's be honest about it, other than the Forest game a week or so ago, 10 days ago, we've played pretty well in quite a few games now consecutively. Brighton, we played very well in a 4-0 win. We're scoring goals now, and that always makes me smile, like all City fans, because you know that if the opposition do manage to get one, if we're on song, we're going to score two or three or four goals. And I think, you know, that's five goals at the weekend, four against Brighton, five a couple of weeks ago, and it's good. I'm feeling confident. Yes, we've got three challenging league games to go, but I was very, very happy at the weekend's performance, barring their goal, which was probably avoidable, but that's life. 5-1, I'll take.
Steve, just picking up on what Stato said, City obviously have a reputation and a bit of a track record in sort of coming into their own at this stage of the season. It just seems to be happening again, as a friend of mine once said, deja vu all over again.
Yeah, I think there's a few things here. One, players that joined us this year seem to have really settled into the groove in the last month or two. The players that have been with us for some time, and some of them being David Silva's old teammates, Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden, Edison and Kyle Walker, I think, are the only four I could name in the team on the weekend that actually were here when David Silva was playing for City. They kind of all gelled together. I actually think that we know how to win at this time of year, and we just go through the motions with it. But it was a really good game. I think the one player I really like to single out for having had a really good game at the weekend, and Haaland got all the plaudits for scoring four goals, Guardiol, really looked to me like he's kind of had a season in City and he's a real quality player. And not only was that from an attacking sense, but actually I did notice when there was a bit of danger in the City box, on a couple of occasions he turned up covering for Ake on at least one occasion and covering for Walker on another occasion as well. And I thought that he had a much more complete performance. He looks better every time I actually see him play now. And he's a goal threat as well.
He is. He's got a couple of goals as well, hasn't he, recently? Guardiola just seemed to have been the one player who seems to have, as you say, Steve, people say they need a season or so to get settled into the side, but he really has looked fantastic the last few games. He's come on really, really strongly. Spencer, I don't know if you want to pick up on that and maybe just give us a quick overview on the game, but maybe you want to start with Guardiola. Feel free.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've spoken really well about Guardiola in the last sort of half dozen games. And with good reason. I mean, he's bagged in a few goals that, you know, not expected. He's actually a good player to watch. He's got flair. He's got poise. He's actually got great feet, you know, for a big guy. I know we talk about the left back role and do we need a left back? But he's more than capable of filling that role and probably the centre back role as well, you know, in the fullness of time. But no, a really great signing for City. I mean, it's very enjoyable to watch him. And then, of course, we come on to the game itself. I think, I suppose, the thing for me was it was just sort of reassuring. We immediately got into our groove and the flow was there. There was times against Forest when they were like cutting through us through the middle of the park in swathes, and you wondered whether we had some vulnerability. So sort of coming into this game, you wondered how we would start, but we immediately got to it. I'm sure we'll come onto the goals. But we looked like City of old. And I think now, to be honest, even my Arsenal friends sort of think City are going to complete it. And they're just hoping that we slip up. But I really don't think we will from this point.
Let's kick off then with the goals then, Steve. Haaland, 4. I think it's only the third time someone has scored back-to-back hat-tricks at home in consecutively against the same side sort of two seasons running. So he's breaking records all over the place. To score 4, earlier this season people were saying, you know, he's not the player he was, he's off the boil. But you see him in that sort of form. I realised 2 were penalties, but he just was a threat. And that 4th goal was magnificent, wasn't it?
I think he wasn't managed as closely by Wolves as they did in the game earlier this year, and I think he was given a lot more space. You know, you can go back to the days of Lee 1 pen, Haaland 2 pen in this case. The first penalty, I think, was probably, I was debating it with my son, and we both felt that it was probably a little bit harsh on Wolves, to be perfectly fair. It was one of those that could have gone either way, and actually if it had done, you wouldn't have been that aggrieved about it not being given, maybe. The second penalty was well taken. I think he kind of hit it in exactly the same place, but a damn sight harder the second time round. So the keeper got sort of in the right area, but couldn't do anything with it. The header was a thing of beauty, actually, to be fair. It was one of those where you didn't think it was going in to start with, and then you realise that the goalkeeper had completely misjudged it, dropped into the far corner. The last goal, as you quite rightly point out, was probably the best. And I think, A, the pass from Foden, B, Haaland's control and his kind of composure to take the ball down and then put it in the corner of the net. It just, the guy is an amazing player. Given the right space and the right service, he's always going to score goals. I think we struggle sometimes with him when we have a team where it's very tight, where they put 9 or 10 men behind the ball plus a goalkeeper, and he's not so great in those games because he hasn't got the low down, low gravity control that people like Phil Foden, Oscar Bob, etc., Bernardo Silva have actually got, where they can turn in those spaces and make a nuisance of themselves. And I think those games probably don't quite work for him. Alvarez then came on and scored a nice goal at the end as well. Beautifully set up, lovely finish. I think all round a really good performance. You know, I think Wolves scored a goal and that just seemed to anger us a little bit, and we kind of went straight back down the other end and scored a goal.
League 2 player, though, Spencer, isn't he? He's only good enough for League 2, surely.
Well, there's a little bit of beef between Roy Keane and the Haaland family, I suppose, isn't there? But what a way to answer a facetious charge like that. And, I mean, it comes back to the old clichés, you know, form's temporary, class is permanent. I mean, he looked absolutely fantastic. And coming back to that 4th goal again, what a beautiful goal that was. And he makes these difficult moves look so easy in the finish. I think one of the goals against Forest also, he did the same, dip the shoulder. You know, it's a beautiful left foot into the far corner. So a well-deserved performance. And I actually quite liked it when he came off and he had a little bit of a moan, didn't he? I think there was no doubt he was not happy about coming off. And I think afterwards he probably calmed down a little bit and appeased Pep. But really tremendous performance. And of course, it'll augurs well for the next few games. 4 games to go, I suppose, 3 in the league, 1 in the FA Cup, and I'm sure it'll start all 4.
But there's a fine line, isn't there, Stato, just being serious for a moment, between kind of being disappointed at being substituted and being stroppy. Where do you draw the line? How did you sort of judge his performance, sitting on the bench, sort of slamming his boots on the floor, and he really was unhappy? It doesn't look great, does it? Or does it? Do you think that's a good sign?
No, I don't, actually. I mean, there was no need for that. I clearly wanted to stay on the pitch to potentially get the 5th goal and join others who have got that in one match, but it was unnecessary. He's got to just accept that Pep is the manager. Pep makes the decisions. On occasions, he might not even play certain games, which he has in the last few weeks. He's been fit but not played. I think I understand players getting a little bit stroppy, being taken off, but you should really vent that frustration behind the locker door, not in front of the television cameras and the fans. He'd had a brilliant game, a little bit upsetting when he comes off and starts having a go at Pep and then sits there, as you say, throwing a minor tantrum. It would be how I would do it. And I'd prefer it if it didn't happen.
I don't know, Steve and Spencer, whether you want to kind of give the opposite view and maybe support Steve. I mean, you look as though you're keen to maybe support Haaland in this situation.
I kind of... The good thing is it shows an awful lot of desire on his behalf to kind of stay on the pitch. But I would say that I do agree with Stato in that we've got a couple more really important games to go, one of which is the FA Cup final. Haaland has proved this year that he can sometimes, when, you know, pick up injuries towards the end of games when there isn't a need to, when you're 4-1 up, why does he need to stay on? And I think that's probably what's going through Pep's mind. He wants to save him for the next game and the game after that and the game after that. So you kind of have to use him a bit sparingly. So I kind of understand both sides of it. I would absolutely love Sky to do one of those pitch side interviews where Haaland actually has to come out and stand next to Roy Keane, because I would love to see Haaland intimidate him with his size.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time talking about that, Dick, to be honest, this week. I think he's... we know
about the history. Get a taste of his medicine, though, wouldn't it?
Well, we know what the history is, and I think anybody who tries to and says in his book that he deliberately went out to mm-hmm. injure someone, end somebody's career, I have zero time for. I think it's a disgrace for a professional footballer to behave that way, and I think it is inexcusable and something I would never, ever... want to condone, and I think it's an absolute outrage that is even allowed on television. Not that I feel strongly about it, as you can hear at all. Spencer, your thoughts about Haaland finally before we go
on
to the next.
I'm just going to slightly disagree. I think
please, go on.
Probably privately, Pep really not said he liked it, the manner, because obviously the cameras are everywhere, but it just shows his, you know, his hunger and desire. And I think there's only a handful of people that have ever scored five in the Premier League. And I suppose he wanted to join. And I mean, 9 hat tricks for City in 94 appearances. I mean, it's mad. You know, 10% of the time he's scoring hat tricks. So I don't think you can deny it in the heat of the moment. You know, okay, we can all lip read, but we'll forgive him that one.
Just sort of sticking with you, Spencer, for a moment. We've talked about the way he took his goal. We talked about the pass from Foden as well over the top. But we shouldn't underestimate the pass from Ederson to Foden, actually, which was actually, he saw him, it was quick, it was decisive, you know, that as well. But at the same time, I guess we could be critical of Ederson as well, because that was sloppy. Like, here I'm criticising our great keeper, who's probably one of the greatest ever. But that was sloppy, wasn't it? He should have done better with that. But we need a clean sheet. You know, goal difference, you never know. It might be a factor. We need to keep a clean sheet. That was sloppy, Ederson. You disappointed me in that moment. Discuss, Spencer, please help me out here.
One of those things, I think, on another day it would have hit him or not gone back. I'm not going to blame Ederson for that one. I'm going to focus more on his assists or pre-assists, which gives us another dimension up front. So no.
Go on, Steve. All right, then, Steve, go on. That was sloppy. You're a keeper. You're an ex-keeper, Steve. I'm going to come to you then. That was sloppy, wasn't it, for a man of his talent?
Yeah, he did that without thinking.
He flapped it.
And yeah, there's absolutely no excuse for that. And actually to flap it to a player that seems to be like a thorn in our side, Chan, seems to be one of those players that always seems to score against us some way, shape or form. And actually last time I think he committed 2 fouls, didn't he? Got a yellow card for the first one, then committed a foul at the end of the first half and should have been sent off, in my opinion, for that, and proceeded to score a goal against us in the second half. So it was a bit sloppy from Ederson, and I think he is prone to the odd kind of slip like that, where he just gets a little bit sort of slapdash in things that he does. And whether it's, you know, it was only kind of excusable to a degree because we were 3-0 up at the time. Otherwise, it would have been a little bit more nail-biting towards the end of that game. Luckily, we went straight down the other end and scored. But yeah, he just, from time to time, he does seem to do that. Whereas actually, I think Ortega's a little bit less prone to that kind of mistake, shall we say?
Interesting here, Stato. We've got Spencer, who completely understandably is in the Ederson's one of the greatest. We can allow it that occasionally. And Steve, actually, an ex-keeper. recognising it, he could have done better. Where do you sit on this? Who are you with, Spencer or Steve?
I'm with myself. Ederson is a brilliant distributor of the ball, probably the best in the world that I've seen, but he's not the best shot stopper and not the best goalkeeper that's there to save shots. Or in this case, he misjudged the cross or didn't quite get there. I'm willing to put up with Ederson because of his distribution so fantastic and forgive the fact that occasionally he'll be caught out. He made some great saves as well. Let's not forget the Champions League final against Inter, where he made two or three cracking saves that effectively helped us win the tie. And he's made some good saves this season too. But I'd say as a shot stopper, if I'm being honest about it, I think Ortega is probably marginally better. There, that was sat on the fence, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. That was good. It's what you're here for. Good. Let's a question on Twitter. And we haven't kind of covered this for a few weeks yet, so I'm just raising it because it's been raised on Twitter, and we're at City Podcast if you want to comment and follow along. City are boring. Discuss. We've not talked about it, but somebody thinks they want to discuss that. Spencer, City are boring. Discuss.
Well, cross out the word boring and put good. I mean, it's the flip side of the quality of our play, isn't it? I must say, at half-time, we all went in sort of self-satisfied against Wolves, put the kettle on, 3-0 up, sort of game one in our own minds. You could characterise that as boring if you really want to, but I think it was, it was just a good half of football. We're always going to get these sort of criticisms. If you want to refer to the style of the play, then I think it talks to a system which works and which has players who fulfil in, midfield, defence, attack, who can, play those roles. I mean, we saw with Wolves that this sort of very low block and possession-based football out of defence, they didn't have the quality of players to fulfil. And so we gained possession in the final third, and we exploited that. City's players are very good. They play to a system. And so it's not boring in my book.
And nor is it in Stato's. I know what's coming next.
No, it's not boring to City supporters. I can understand neutrals who turn on and try and watch a match for excitement and a 50-50 match. Watching City-Liverpool is different to watching City-Wolves because we did lose to Wolves earlier this season, but most of the time you would expect City to beat Wolves. But people switching on for an action-packed match between City and quite a few teams in the league, particularly at the Etihad, would not be happy at what they see because we are formulaic, but we're brilliant. The football we play, sometimes when we speed it up and find those openings, is absolutely brilliant, fantastic to watch. But people who just want to watch a game for pure excitement at 4-4 or 3-2 matches or whatever, they're going to feel probably a little bit flat when they see City demolishing Wolves. But there again, it's a fantastic league title chase again this season between two top teams. Last season it was City Arsenal. Season before, we've had Liverpool on our coattails. And it's fantastic. I mean, I don't understand why people get so upset that City might win it. If we do win it, we only just win it. And therefore, it's a great league to be fighting it out in. Compare it to the other major leagues in Europe. Italy, finished. Spain, finished. Germany, finished. All those titles are decided. Whereas the English league title is the one that's possibly going down to the final weekend. To say City are boring and just win everything is ridiculous.
Ridiculous, Stephen. Ridiculous, says Stato.
Yeah. Okay, so why are City seen as being boring? Generally, I think Stato kind of hinted at it. When teams come to the Etihad, they set up in two banks of four with somebody on the halfway line to try and receive the ball when they actually do manage to turn it over against us, and they defend like hell. And actually, it's quite hard for us to break it down. So is that boring? Well, yeah, possibly a bit boring, but the reality of it is we've got to play towards what the opponents are doing. The only way you're going to break them down is to pass side to side to side to side to side to side until you get an opening and they lose concentration as to what they're actually doing. And very little that we can actually do about that. You occasionally get teams that come and they actually want to play against us, and sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't work. I think Arsenal are going to find that as a problem, because I think more teams are going to set up a low block against them as well. I think that's going to be their frustration going forward. It's happened to Liverpool a few times this year, because Liverpool are quite an exciting team. They like to attack, they like to put the ball over the top, and a few teams have got wise to that, and actually they've kind of cottoned onto it, and they're not playing Liverpool at the game Liverpool want them to play at or need them to play at. And I think, you know, that's a natural situation to be in. Okay, so if City do manage to lift the cup this year, great. If City manage to win the league this year, great for us. Not so good for other people, because they just look at it and say it's boring. But nobody complained like that when Man United were doing it year after, apart from us, when United were doing it year after year after year in the 90s and early 2000s. So, you know, those are the kind of people that are actually calling us boring or saying it's boring that only one team seems to be lifting trophies. They kind of forget their heyday was not that long ago.
Talking of boring or not boring and heyday, let's just talk about David Silva for a second. How good was that to see him, his wife and his two kids there at the Etihad? Of course, when he parted, we didn't have the opportunity because we were in full of COVID and no one was around. So how fabulous was it, Stato, to see him walking out there, full head of hair, looking marvellous. What a great moment. What a great player. What a legend.
Oh, fantastic player. One of the best we've had at the club. Probably, I wouldn't put which number in terms of his greatness, but he's certainly up there in terms of his skill, his capability, the way he can thread passes. His control. It's just everything about him. He seemed like a lovely guy as well. And, yeah, what more can you say? He's a legend of the team, of the past team. Deserved everything he got, all the titles he won, the cups, etc. So just a pity he wasn't there when we lifted the Champions League as well, but that's life.
And nice to see a picture on social media again of his two kids outside his statue as well, outside the stadium, which was rather a nice moment as well. Spencer, your brief reflections on the great David Silva?
Yeah, it was really lovely to see him. I mean, he looked absolutely great, didn't he? He looked like he could put his kit on and put a shift in. I mean, some players, you know, one or two or three years out, they look really rather different and they packed a few pounds on. But no, he's just a very elegant man. Great to see him there with his family, and lovely occasion, and long overdue.
Steve?
Yeah, I think he's one of the best players I've ever seen wear a City shirt. And, you know, the reception he actually received was very heartwarming. And I'm so pleased that he managed to get that reception. He managed to come back to see us. Must have been good for him as well to actually watch Foden play now, having been one of the players that Foden has always looked up to in his time. And actually Foden was fulfilling sort of that kind of David Silva type position for large chunks of that game at the week, the game at the weekend. And he must have been so proud of that.
Let's look forward. I mentioned we got four cup finals, including the cup final, but sticking with the three League Cup finals, I had a great question actually on Twitter from Old Riverman, who said, who's likely to help their rivals to the title? Is it Spurs by beating us or Stretford by beating Arsenal? I think it's a great question and a nice way of looking at it as kind of we look forward. So, I don't know, Spencer, come on, do you want to have a go at this one then?
Well, we go get some conspiracy theories going.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I mean, we have so much trouble at that ground at the White Hart Lane, don't we? Of getting a result. I suppose they've got professionalism there, but I mean, now that Spurs are almost certainly locked into fifth, you don't know where their heads will be two games from the end of the season. But I really. I mean, there'll be a visceral hatred if Arsenal lift the title thanks to their, lack of efforts against us, or if we win rather the other way around, if we win. But I don't know. They've got to put a professional performance in. I can't subscribe to that, I don't suppose.
Stato, your thoughts are just a different way of looking at our next three fixtures, I suppose, I guess, and what's going on around us. I mean, you've already made the point. It's a really exciting end to the season. And I have to, you know, if Arsenal do win it, I think you made the point. I think you could argue that they've probably been more consistent, maybe played the better football at different parts during the season as well. Dare I say that? Am I allowed to say that on this podcast?
Of course you are, because effectively the team that ends up with the most points deserves it. It's as simple as that. If we win it with the most points, we deserve it. I think there's more rivalry between the Stretford and Arsenal than there is between Spurs and City. So I don't think there'll be a walkover for Arsenal at Old Trafford. I think that they'll put up a fight against them, because it goes back years, doesn't it? The Wenger, Ferguson, and when they two were really at each other's throats chasing the league title 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago in Arsenal's case. So there's no love lost between those two clubs. And you remember the Vieira, Keane and all the rest of those fights on the pitch. I spoke to quite a few Spurs supporters, and I asked one, I said to him, if it's 0-0 with 2 minutes to go and City score, what will you do? And he said, half the stadium at least will be cheering. So whether that happens or not, I hope it doesn't, because I don't think my heart could take it 2 minutes from time, 0-0, and we score a late goal. But it'd be amazing to see it in some ways. But yeah, it's ironic that we've both got these matches to play on the opposition's grounds. And so we'll see what happens.
Steve, how do you see it?
A good friend of mine who I've known for 20-odd years is a Spurs fan, and he actually sent me a note when I was in the Dominican Republic the other week, and he said, as much as you don't like to see your team lose, he said, there is no better way for us to lose than to you at the Spurs stadium and make sure that you get the title and not Arsenal. That was his considered opinion on it. And he said, you know, if you ask most Spurs fans, they'd probably feel exactly the same way. If there's one team they would rather not win the league, it would be Arsenal. And I can understand that. I can't see Stretford wanting us to do us any favours, but as Stato quite rightly points out, there's that much sort of dispute between those two teams over the years. I could see them actually putting a really good shift in. It's a kind of game where they actually play quite well, to be honest with you, and you wouldn't be surprised if they got a result out of it, to be perfectly honest with you.
We'll come back to that and just sort of get your predictions of those last three games. Before we do that, I just want to touch on a couple of other topics, which is kind of away from the first team. Stato, we've got a youth cup final against Leeds at the Etihad on Friday night. It's kind of the first one to talk about. And then the second one, obviously, is the women, who were riding high, but results at the weekend didn't quite go our way. So that's looking slightly trickier. Do you want to just give us quick reflections on those two?
Well, the Youth Cup final, the team has done really well the last few seasons. They won it, I can't remember exactly how many years ago, three seasons or so ago. Last season, they were really unlucky. They lost to Arsenal in the semi-finals, playing with 10 men for most of the game, and lost, I think it was the 121st minute, so injury time in extra time. And this season, they've put all their opposition, not to the sword, because it was a tough semi-final, but they're in the final, well-deserved, and they've got every chance, because I think it was a draw that effectively, who comes out the hat first to where the final will be played in City, who've got the home advantage. So, minor advantage, but Leeds must have got there. I don't know any of the Leeds players, but I've seen a few of the City youth games, follow them, and we're the favourites, put it that way. Doesn't mean we'll win. The women's game yesterday, I watched most of the game. I couldn't watch the last 10 minutes, so I switched off when it was 1-0 to City. Of course, I saw that the flash scores came up and they'd lost 2-1. And then, of course, nailing, not quite in the coffin, but being firmly hit down, Chelsea going 8-0 to effectively take control into their own hands now. Because if they win their last two games, almost certainly they're going to be the champions, because we'd have to beat Villa in our last game of the season quite convincingly away from home. Chelsea do have a tough last match, dare I say it, against our fierce rivals from across there in Stretford. So, we want Stretford to do us a favour there as well.
Steve, I know you're a big fan of the women's game as well. I know you've been to a few games this season again. Any reflections, sort of particularly because it was looking good, and that Chelsea result, that does change things, doesn't it, quite a bit?
It does. I think, you know, I watched the whole of the game yesterday, actually, and I was a little bit disappointed with our game management in the last sort of 10 minutes. Arsenal kind of built and built and built, and we just looked to kind of sit deeper and deeper and deeper, and actually on occasions very un-City-like, just pumping the ball downfield and actually returning the ball to them. And, you know, they made the most of the chances that actually came their way. So a little bit disappointing from that perspective. I was privileged to see the women's derby earlier in the season at the Etihad, which had an attendance of close to 40,000 people, which was a really good spectacle and a very good advert for the women's game, really. And City won that quite convincingly. So, yeah, it's a shame for them, but they've got to really go all guns now against Aston Villa next weekend, whereas Chelsea, I think it's Spurs and United, I think, off the top of my head, I think they've got to play. So they've got to get results from both of those. And if they do, though, I agree with Stato, it's going to be very hard for us, especially without our top goal scorer, Bunny Shaw, who's currently injured at the moment, to make the most of it. So, be interesting. Shame for them if they don't win it, because, you know, Steph Houghton's last season for City, et cetera, et cetera. It'd be a shame if she doesn't, but, you know.
Sure. Anything to add, Spencer, either women or
the... Not so much. I mean, cruel twist at the end of that game. I was also tuning in, and I just hope that the men's team doesn't have that kind of issue as they close the season out.
Let's finally come back then to the men and these three league games that are left. Sorry to do it to you, but let's have some predictions then, which I think it's that time of the season, really. It's in our own hands, we know that. I'm slightly nervous. I mean, there's one of these games that stands out for me just because of our record at that stadium. And I am, you know, giving you my prediction first. I am worried. I'm genuinely worried. I think, you know, Fulham away and West Ham at home, you'd like to think. But I'm worried about that one fixture at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We drop points there. Arsenal continue their fine form, and it means it's gone. So that's what kind of the head is saying. The heart said something very different, of course. Where are you then, Spencer? Give us your thoughts then. Are we going to do all three?
I was asked this question the other week, and I said I had 80-20 confidence that we were going to close this out. I'm not changing that at all. And especially if Spurs set up like they seem to every game, which is very open. I think we've got the players that will punish them. And actually, I know our record there is absolutely terrible, but we've got a most incredible record to close out season after season. I've not done the counting, but is there anybody who actually hasn't lifted a Premier League title for City in the team these days? Possibly Doku. We see the new signings, but I think we will do it, and I think we'll do it comfortably. I think the season will be different to others at Spurs. And as for Fulham, I think we've got more than enough quality there, and I don't think we're going to mess up on the. Well, probably by great irony, we've got a good track record of stressing us all out on the last day. So it could come down to a very stressful, but hopefully ultimately victorious last game against West Ham. Let's see.
And we hear today, not surprisingly, that West Ham manager has been released from his duties. I think we'll be leaving at the end of the season. We just heard that this afternoon as we go to record. Steve, are you as equally optimistic as Spencer is? Where do you stand?
Yeah, I am. You're right.
That was a big sigh, Steve. Steve,
yeah, the one fixture that worries me is the Spurs one again. We have one there this season. We did win 1-0 in the cup, so that jinx might have been lifted now. Hopefully that confidence will still be there, but I see that as being the more tricky of the three fixtures. But as Spencer says, we do sometimes go into the last day against teams we're expected to beat, and we kind of give them a bit of a head start before thumping them. Aston Villa being a really good example of that. They played in claret and blue as well that day, I seem to remember. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. But yeah, I do worry about the Spurs one. That's the trickiest of the fixtures, I think.
The final words with you, Stato.
I'm confident against Fulham. I'll go 4-1 if you want to score. I'm reasonably confident against Spurs. Not totally, but I think there'll be lots of goals in that game because I watched the Liverpool-Spurs game yesterday and Spurs just opened up. They gave Arsenal a 3-goal start and then they gave Liverpool a 4-goal start. So hopefully they'll be in the same sort of form when we play them in a couple of weeks' time. Or it's just over a week's time now, actually. It's 8 days. I'm going to go 4-2. We'll win it. Because I'm just seeing lots of goals. We're going to make up for the fact that we've only scored one goal at their stadium, and that was in the cup match, so I'm going 4-2. Then West Ham, I've got to go 2-0 down, 3-2 win, because we always do that, don't we?
And Aguero's going to score, do you reckon, that day? Or David Silva will put his kit on. Yeah, as you said, he's looking. There we go.
It's going to be De Bruyne to Haaland to score the winning goal in the 94th minute.
Amazing. It's been a joy and a pleasure. Thank you to my three guests, to Steve Cox, to Spencer Tebson, and to Stato Paul Denby. This is Nigel Rothband saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.